morning. If you would, go ahead and be opening your Bibles, finding 2 Timothy. We're just going to look at that letter for just a little while this morning. Let me remind you of a few things while you're finding that. This coming Tuesday evening at 5:30 at the building of the downtown congregation in Morrilton, there's a fellowship meal and a singing. Just have a great singing. If you would like to attend, plan to attend, please let me know today so that we can turn that number in so that everything's ready for us. There is a cost for the meal, and the meal costs $6. That's just to help cover the cost of the meal. So if you'd like to go, let me know today. We'll make arrangements to do that. I also want to remind you about our Ladies' Day that's coming up in just 2 weeks. 2 weeks from yesterday, would that be right? 8th? 15th, 22nd. Yeah, 2 weeks from yesterday. So we just have one Saturday between now and then, and we hope that you're making plans to attend. But you need to be inviting your friends, ladies, your friends, your family, other ones that you know to come enjoy that morning of fellowship and Bible study with the ladies here. It'll be a great time for you, and we want you to take full advantage of that. And if we can help you in any way in making that successful, we hope that you will. I'll mention just one more thing to you, then we'll get into our lesson. Kids Connection will begin, not this coming, not tonight, not next Sunday night, but the Sunday night following. And I want you kids, I want you to meet me right over here, right on the front, right over here. Be here at 5 o'clock. Get your parents around, okay? Get your parents around. Be here a little bit early, even. But get here at 5 o'clock. Sit right up here. We're going to do a few things. We're going to dismiss, and you're going to have a time of study just special for you, young people, just special for our children. And hopefully it's all going to work out to where the parents are going to hear a lesson along about the same thing that their kids are studying, just practical things. We're going to begin with our children are going to study, why do we need parents and adults anyway? I know, I remember when I was four, I thought I didn't need them. I had no use for them, you know, until supper time came or something like that. Why do our children need parents and adults? And adults, we need to be reminded why our children need us. And we can't afford to just give up. When they think they don't need us or they're a little bit disrespectful or those kind of things, we can't just give up and say, well, I tried to be a parent. I'm not going to try anymore. No, they need us. We're vital. We're important. And so you'll be studying along those lines. The next week, we're going to study about, you know, why do children then need to obey their parents? Why do they need to obey their parents? And why, parents, do we need to teach our children to be obedient? Those are important things, important things. Why do children need to learn to be helpful? Why do they need to learn to be helpful, parents? Why do they need to learn to be helpful in the home, in the family? Why do they need that? It's important. It's important. Those kind of just practical things that you'll be studying, your kids will be studying, and then throughout the week, we're looking for change. We're looking for change, okay? So each Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, young people, meet me right there. Meet me right there. We're going to take just a few minutes. We're going to do a few things. Then we'll begin that program, okay, in our evening worship service. So be here for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to talk to you this morning about the small window of opportunity that we're all given. It's just small. It's small. Window of opportunity that we have all been given. I want to remind you, Paul is in prison in Rome. He's in prison. He has left a young man, named Timothy in Ephesus. Ephesus is not an easy place to work. It had become so difficult that the Apostle Paul had to leave. He'd been there for two and a half years, but it became so difficult that Paul had to leave. And he left Timothy there to carry on, to see that work was nurtured and it flourished and it accomplished what God would have it to accomplish. It's a difficult place. Paul is in prison, and a letter is written. Paul writes a letter. And I mean, if you've ever just sit down and just read this like a letter instead of, well, let's study the first few verses. If you'd ever just sit down and just read it as a letter, you'd recognize this is one of those love letters. This is a man who is in prison, and he's writing to a young man that he loves and he loves dearly. There's just a small window of opportunity for him to write that letter. Remember, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 6, I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. It's short. I mean, suppose Paul had delayed in writing this letter. I'll write it tomorrow. I'll write it next week. I've got other pressing things, you know, to take care of. I'll write it next week. He just had a small window of opportunity. Just like you and I do in so many ways. It's just a small window of opportunity. And if we don't take advantage of that moment in time, that window of opportunity, a lot of the things that we had good intentions to do, we plan to do it, will never get done. They'll never get accomplished. The Apostle Paul writes this letter. And I can, as I read it, can feel the emotions. It's like me writing to my grandchildren. I drop them a letter alone. I want them to know, I don't get to see you very often, but that doesn't mean I'm not thinking about you. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young man he's thinking about right now. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. According to the will of God, according to the purpose, the plan of God. To my beloved son, Timothy. Verse number 2 of chapter 1. I mean, that's how he begins this letter. To my beloved son, Timothy. I didn't put everything up there I want to mention to you. That's just kind of a general outline for you. But run your finger down to verse number 4. What does Paul want? I want to see you. I want to see you. Let me read it to you. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. What does he imagine Timothy's doing? Timothy knows I'm in prison. Timothy knows what I'm going through, and Timothy loves me the way I love him. And he's shedding tears. I'm mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. I know this. Look down at verse number 6. Verse number 6, keep stirring up. Keep stirring up that gift of God which you have, because I put my hands on you. I look down in chapter 2 and in verse number 1. Stay strong, son. Stay strong. Endure hardness, verse 3. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Verse 15, study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stay strong, son. Stay strong. Verse number 22, flee your youthful lusts. But follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Stay strong, son. Stay strong. When I look into chapter 3, there are a lot of things there, but in verse number 14, continue. continue in the things you've learned and that you've been assured of. And remember who you learned those things from. As from a child. A child, you've known those Holy Scriptures. Don't leave them now. From a child, you've known them. And they're able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's perfect for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You get into chapter 4. He's closing it out now. He's coming to the end of his letter. In verse number 9, he says, again, do diligence to come to me shortly. Do your best to come see me. Do your best to come see me. There's just a small window of opportunity. If you get down into verse number 21, it's kind of like a P.S. P.S. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And almost all agree who study this that the reason the Apostle Paul is urging the young man Timothy to come before winter is because if he doesn't come before winter, there's a good chance I'll be dead by then. Can you feel the emotion? A letter is sent. A letter is received. I don't know. I receive all kinds of letters. Sometimes it's a letter that, I can tell by the envelope. That's not anything I'm interested in. I don't even open them. Sometimes they're bills. I just hand those to Beverly. And then sometimes it's a letter and it's from somebody. They got their name right up there. I keep those letters. I don't wait a minute to read them. And then I keep them. Sometimes they're stuffed in my Bible, and Beverly says, it's time you clean that Bible out. I keep them in my Bible because I always got my Bible with me. And anytime I want to read that letter, I know where that letter's at. But when she says, clean the Bible out, I don't throw them in the trash even then. They get filed away. And there comes times when, hey, I just want to read again. I just want to read them. I wasn't there. When the postmaster came with this letter, did he knock on Timothy's door? Did he find Timothy out in the yard? Did Timothy go to the post office box? What was Timothy's reaction when he received this letter? We're not told. But he received a letter. He received a letter. Based on what I read, I feel sure that he was excited when he received it. He looked. It's from Paul. What do you think he would have done? Do you think he would have said, I'm busy right now. I'll read that later. I don't know. I'll read that tomorrow. Or is it like something, I read something last night and I told Beverly, I said, I've got that. I've got that magazine. I hadn't read it yet. Did he treat it like that? Lay it over on the end table and say, I'm going to read that, but I'm busy right now. I'll read that later. And a month later, he thinks, I never did get around to reading that letter from the Apostle Paul. Maybe I'll pick that thing up and read it. Do you think that's what he did? I don't imagine it to be like that. I imagine he was excited to receive this letter. I do. I think he was excited to receive it. Here's a letter from Paul. He knows where he's at. He's in prison. He's written me. I can see him standing on the doorstep, standing out in the yard. The letter has just arrived. And he hurriedly opens the letter and he begins to read it. I think it was probably pretty emotional for him to read that letter, don't you? I mean, because at the end of this letter, The Apostle Paul talks to him about his current condition. Look at it. It's found in chapter 4, and I'm beginning in verse number 6. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure, it's at hand. Wow. The departure he's talking about, Paul is talking about, is not his departure from prison. Oh yeah, it is a departure from prison too, isn't it? But it's a departure from this life. A crown of righteousness, he says, is laid up for me. But not for me only. Wouldn't this be encouraging, a way to encourage your son, your child? A crown of righteousness is laid up for me, but not for me only, but for all them. That would be you too, Timothy. But for all them which love is appearing. It's just a moment in time. Just a moment in time. Just a small window of opportunity. Just a small window of opportunity. Oh, I imagine it was emotional, because Paul talks about his current condition, but Paul also talks about his current desire. His desire, his deepest desire. Again, in verse number 9, do your best to come to me soon. I want to see you. I want to see you. And the time of my departure is at hand. I want to see you. When you come, I left a cloak up in Troas with Brother Carpus. Would you go by and pick that up for me, please? Bring it with you, and the books, and especially the parchment. Would you bring those? There's been debate about what those books are. Some say, well, you know, it maybe the books were the Old Testament. I don't know. Maybe there were some books that the Apostle Paul had left in possession of Timothy, or maybe for Timothy to use. But Paul saw a need to have them. That tells me something. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Until I see you again, give attendance to reading. Some of us would do well to take the same heed. When is the last time you read? Bring the books. Some have said the parchments were probably, maybe, possibly the original letters that the Apostle Paul had written, the ones he had already written. And he kept the originals and sent copies, had copies sent. He had a secretary, you know. He could have done that. He could have done that. Who knows what those are, but the Apostle Paul wants them. And then you have this line, P.S. P.S. Do your best, son. Do your best to come before winter. It's just a small window of opportunity. If you lay that letter aside and you don't read it, you may miss that opportunity. You may well miss it. Son, if you don't come before winter, travel was hard at best. Travel was hard. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of miles of travel. And the Apostle Paul knows as well as any that travel's going to be done by sea. The Apostle Paul had tried one of those trips, right? Fairhaven. Sail into that port, unless winter in that port. But the captain wouldn't listen. They come out and they try to make that trip in the winter. And end up shipwrecked. You need to come before winter. You need to come before winter. There's a good possibility I won't be alive if you wait till spring. The time of my departure is at hand. A letter was written. A letter has been received. And now a decision has to be made. I wondered, we're not told, I wonder what decision did Timothy make? I mean, there's two possibilities as I can see it, right? Two possibilities. One possibility is he reads the letter. He understands Paul's request. But man, he just charged me at chapter 4, verse 1 to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He just charged me before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. I got work. I got a few things I need to take care of. There's some important business to take care of here in Ephesus. I'll make that trip to Rome as soon as I can. As soon as I can. Is that the way Timothy responded to this? I don't know. I would like to think in my mind's eye, I see Timothy standing on the porch, standing out in the yard. He's received this letter. He opens it up hurriedly. He knows it's from the Apostle Paul. He reads it. He doesn't stop after the first chapter. It wasn't divided into chapters. That's just so preachers won't preach a long time. He didn't stop the first chapter. He read it like a letter. And when he finished, he folds that letter up, sticks it inside his coat pocket or in his Bible, if he had one. And he turns to walk into the house, and someone says, "Timothy, what are you doing? If you don't mind, would you give me some help? You know those books and those parchments? Start putting them together for me. Get them together. Get them ready to go." "Well, what are you going to do, Timothy?" "I'm headed to Troas." Troas? Why are you going to Troas?" "I'm going to the house of Carpus." "What are you going to do at Brother Carpus's house?" "I'm going to pick up a cloak, a coat, a garment that the Apostle Paul, that Paul left there. I'm going to pick that up. Then I'm going to find me a ship. And I'm going to sail across that Aegean Sea till I reach Macedonia. I'm going to get off that ship and I'm going to cross that land mass of Macedonia. And I'm going to get on another ship and I'm going to cross the Aegean Sea. And I'll land at Nicopolis. And I'll hit the Aegean Way, and I'm going up to Rome." "Well, why are you in such a hurry?" "I got to get there before winter. I've got a short window of opportunity. I must get there before winter. I'm going to see Paul." Imagine with me the joy that would have been evident when Timothy arrives and he obtains permission to go into the jail cell, or for Paul to come out of that cell for a while. And there they meet. All because Paul didn't wait to write a letter and Timothy didn't wait to respond. But think of how sad it would have been for Timothy to have waited until its winter had set in. Now you got to wait till spring. But he goes to Troas, he collects the coat. Maybe Brother Carpus helps him find passage across the Aegean Sea, across the landmass of Macedonia, across the Adriatic, to Nicopolis, the Aegean Way. And as he gets there he begins to look to try to find the houses of Paulus and Claudia or Linnaeus, verse 21, chapter 4. "Timothy, where have you been?" "I've been taking care of business over in Ephesus. But I'm here now. Help me find Paul. Haven't you heard, Timothy? You mean you didn't receive word? Paul was beheaded. He's no longer alive. Can you imagine how Timothy would have felt? I'm just trying to get you to see. Sometimes when you miss that small window of opportunity, it has great effect, doesn't it? Great effect. A letter was written, just a small window of opportunity to write it. A letter was received, just a small window of opportunity to make a decision about what I'm going to do. You know, you and I are faced with these small windows of opportunity. That's what I want to really talk to you about as we finish this thing up. We each are faced with windows of opportunity, and they're just small windows of opportunity. I mean, how many of you in here are at least close to my age? I didn't know 64 was going to come this quick. Did you? Oh, he thinks, well, man, I got 100 years to turn 64. You'll be 64 one of these days. Don't laugh, boy. You'll be 64. And you'll look back and you'll say, wow, where did it go? Just a small window of opportunity. And besides that, if you don't get to be 64, guess what's happened before? Death can come at any time, can't it? It's just a small window of opportunity. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And we have to do it. We have the opportunity to change. We have the opportunity to change our attitudes. To change our attitudes. The way the Apostle Paul challenged the members of the church at Philippi. When he said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are right, think on these things. Oh, I'd a whole lot rather think on the negative. Think on these things. You got just a small window of opportunity. Change your attitude. We got just a small window of opportunity to change your ways. If you have any bad habits, you're planning on changing, you figure you'll change them one day. You have just a small window of opportunity, don't you? Just a small window of opportunity. Because you know what happens with habits? You say, well, I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to change. But, you know, another day comes and you do it again and you do it again. It's like laying thread upon thread upon thread into a rope. I was at my mom's the other day. She said, David, could you thread this needle? I can't see it anymore. Well, I can't see any better than she can. But boy, I licked that thread and I poked at that eye of that needle for an hour. Finally, just by accident, poked that thing through there. And then I just took my fingers and I just snapped that thread. But you know what? If you lay thread upon thread upon thread upon thread upon thread long enough, it'll get to where you couldn't break that. You could pull a locomotive with it. They do. Have you seen these ropes? That's what can happen. But we have time. We have an opportunity to work on those things. But it's a small window of opportunity, or it'll become situation that, you know, we really can't change it anymore. Now it's got us instead of us having it. But we got opportunities to change our attitudes, to change our actions, to change the things that we keep saying we're going to do. I'm going to start attending the services of the church faithfully because I want to be an encouragement to every Christian in that community. I need to be there. I know I'm going to. I aim to someday. Do you know how many times over 40 years I've had someone say to me, I aim to? I've got to where when they say that to me, I say, pull the trigger. It's time to quit aiming, isn't it? It's quite time to quit aiming to and do it. Pull the trigger. But did we act like, oh, I can change just any time I want to? No, you can't. No, you can't. You have just a small window of opportunity to change those things. I'm going to become generous. I'm going to. Really? Really? Pull the trigger. Come on. Come on. You know that's what the Lord wants. You know that's the way you ought to be living. Come on. We got the opportunity to change. There's a small window of opportunity for compassion on our part. In just a few days, I'm going to be speaking to a group of young men. I've been assigned the topic of compassion. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about that and a lot of studying on that over the last 6 weeks or so. I found that there are two words in our English language. One is the word empathy. The word empathy, by definition, is having the ability to understand and care about the situation of someone else. You got it? Empathy. Having the ability to understand and care. There are some people who don't have that ability. They don't have the ability to understand what you're going through. You could say, well, walk a mile in their shoes. They couldn't commence to understand what you're talking about. They have not a clue. They're so wrapped up in themselves, they cannot possibly understand what another person is going through. They do not have the ability to have empathy. But folks, there's another word in our English language, and it takes it to an entirely different level. And it's the word compassion. Empathy is having the ability to understand and care. Compassion is having the ability to understand, care, and then be moved to help. Compassion. Compassion. Listen, our Lord had compassion upon them. That's said, isn't it? And he had compassion upon them, for he saw them as sheep without shepherd. Compassion. And he was moved with compassion. He didn't just have the ability to understand and care. He was there to help. And we have that window of opportunity. We do. We have the ability to help. God has blessed us. He's blessed me with the means to help in many, many ways to help. But I'm only going to do it if I have compassion. If I have compassion. As long as I have the attitude, they made their bed, let them lie in it. As long as that's my attitude, I'll never have compassion. I'll never have compassion. Well, they're just leeches. They're just sucking us dry. They're just out for them. As long as that's my attitude, I'll never have compassion. I'll never be like my Lord. But he's given me, and he's given you, a small window of opportunity to show compassion. If you're ever going to do it, you got to do it now. If you're ever going to do it, if you're ever going to live a life of compassion, you're going to have to do it now and stop waiting. Well, I'll do it when I got a little bigger bank account. I'll do it when I retire. I'll do it. You'll never do it. You just got a small window of opportunity. And then for us, there is that small window of opportunity for conversion. Some of you are just like those that I read about through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 20. When Jeremiah said, the summer is past, the harvest is far spent, and you're still not safe. And you're still not saved. And you're still not saved. How many more opportunities do you expect? How many more opportunities are you guaranteed? You know you need to become a Christian. You know you should have a long time ago. And you're still not saved. You're still letting Satan talk to you louder than you're allowing God to talk to you. Because God would tell you, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And Satan says, tomorrow. Next week. Someday. Just keep aiming. Just keep aiming too. How many more opportunities do you think you're going to be given to become a Christian? Why don't you just lay hold of that small window of opportunity that you've been given right here, right now, this morning? I know you believe. I know you believe. Why don't you change your life with the best change you could ever make? It is the best one you will ever make. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Become a follower of His. Repent. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Confess with your mouth. And then confess with your life, the rest of it. Confess with your mouth your faith in Jesus Christ. And then be buried with Him. United with Him in baptism. Your sins will be washed away, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You'll be raised to walk in new life, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It's the best decision you could ever make. Why don't you lay hold of that window of opportunity and do that today? Some of us who are Christians, we're right here. You're right here. You got all sorts of good intentions. Someday, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to do that for the Lord. I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to get serious. How many more opportunities have you been guaranteed than this one right here? He answers none. We have such a small window of opportunity. And so I encourage you, the way the Apostle Paul encouraged a young man that he loved and that he knew loved him. Do your diligence to come before winter. I'd like to think Timothy did, don't you? I'd like to think Timothy did, and I'd like to think you're going to. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're going to lay hold of this moment in time. This is your time. This is your time. This is your window of opportunity to become a Christian. And I believe you're going to become a Christian this morning. My brothers and sisters in Christ, who need to be more dedicated, I believe you're going to lay hold of this window of opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Come. Come before winter. And come to the Lord now. If we can help you, let us know by making your way to the front. Do that now as together we stand and sing.